This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
All right, our good buddy Gareth Wheeler will be making his first appearance in studio during the World Cup. You know that the World Cup is coming to an end when Wheeler's finding time to join us in here. It's Brian Hayes, Dave Festchuk of the Toronto Star. This is Overdrive on TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. And one team's into the final, France. We will see them Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Belgium off to the third-place game, which is one of the more irrelevant games in pro sports. I've never understood why they play a bronze medal game or a third-place game.
I'm assuming it's for money.
Yeah, it's TV, probably.
Yeah, for the TV rights and also for the federations. I think every time you advance in the World Cup, your federation, your football federation, gets a lot of money from FIFA as a disbursement from the profits of this thing. So I'm assuming the third-place team probably gets a little bit more than the fourth-place team.
Well, I guess you're right, and maybe it factors into like world rankings and stuff like that.
That,
but
too.
You didn't really move on to the third-place game.
Very true.
You were relegated to the third-place game. You were told you have to go play again, even though you lost.
Well, and in places like the NCAA Final Four, they used to play a third-place game, and they decided, why are we doing this? Like, the kids don't want to play for third place.
No.
Let's just say, if you lose, you head home.
Right, exactly. And, like, at the World Cup, they don't hand out medals here, so that's the difference. Like, in the Olympics, I understand it. You're playing gold, silver, bronze. Someone's got to achieve that bronze medal. Someone's got to play for it. In the World Hockey Championships, I guess they do that. World Juniors, they do that. But the World Cup, it's either you win or you lose, man. There's no silver medal. There's no bronze medal.
No, you're right.
Just seems like a waste of time. I mean, I guess, again, it's content. But Belgium's going to have to play on Saturday, and Gareth Wheeler's in here. Why do they play a third place?
It's ridiculous.
Game? It's so
no
stupid.
No one cares.
Nobody.
Nobody cares. It's more special in the host nation. Like, I remember back in 2002, South Korea unexpectedly made it to the semifinals. And it was kind of like a good way to kind of bow out of the competition, right? Mm-hmm. But when the host nation's not there, like, who is going to be geeked up for Belgium, whoever?
Right.
Nobody. On Saturday morning.
No, and these guys don't want... these guys played all year in the, you know, EPL,
right.
La Liga, wherever they happen to play. Then they're gearing up for the World Cup. They just want to go home now.
Here's what it is, guys. Okay, I've just looked it up. So the winners of this thing are going to get 38 mil. The runners-up get 28. So what they're playing for in the third-place game, get this. The third-place team will get 24 million. The fourth-place team will get 22 million.
Yeah.
So they're playing for a difference of $2 million for the Federation.
Well, it's tickets sold. And to your point, Brian, the Premier League season starts August 9th.
Right.
Like a month? Less than a month from now. And they do these grandiose preseason tours. I'm watching Manchester United and Liverpool from the Big House in Michigan with 115,000 other people on July 28th. July 28th. That's like 2 weeks from now.
Right.
It's crazy.
And there's a bunch of Belgian players that play in the EPL.
Right.
Right. So they just want to go home. Give them a couple of weeks off before they have to.
And coming back from a loss like that today, it's like, really? Yeah. Are you really in the right mind? They're going to play depth players to get World Cup experience. So we will use that broadcast to hype up the World Cup final.
I guess right?
So, right? That's the purpose of it.
Right.
Well, France gets through. I mean, based on what Dave and I were watching, I think it's deserved. I think they've been really, really quality throughout the whole tournament. Do you think the better team won?
They were my pick back in December, Brian.
Oh, yeah?
They're the most talented team in the world. The question was whether or not they'd be able to come together. 2016, they lose the European Championship final on home soil. This is a program that's come a long way. This was a team in South Africa in 2010, basically quit on the federation and quit on their head coach. And players were suspended long term from that French program. So they've come a long way to get back to this point. For me, they've just been in cruise control this entire tournament, and they've been getting incrementally better, flipping the switch when they need to. And that, for me, is trademark of the best teams.
So, Wheels, you know, Belgium came into this thing. They were the highest scoring team in the tournament, and yet they're blanked here. I mean, what do you make of that?
I think France was very good defensively. Like, the big save, the TSN turning point, was in the first half. Hugo Lloris, the diving save to his right on Alderweireld, because if Belgium scores, I think you see a much more open game. Instead, it was relatively conservative. It was like a chess match. I don't think it was poorly played, but comparing it to other games we've seen in this tournament, a lot of people would say that it's boring. Yeah. But it's boring by comparison, right? I mean, Belgium simply weren't able to trouble the French back line. And I said coming into this game on our preview show, one player, and it's the most ridiculous rule in this tournament, this player named Thomas Meunier, he's a right-sided player for Belgium. He picked up 2 yellow cards in 5 games, and that meant he was suspended for a semifinal. How ridiculous is that? 2 yellows in 5 games? Mm-hmm. He was out, and it forced the Belgium head coach, Roberto Martinez, to shuffle the deck or reshuffle the deck. And I just don't think that they had the right balance in the team.
That's an interesting rule, right? Like this whole fair play rule. I mean, not to mention the fair play tiebreaker, which can, you know, make or break you in terms of advancing, which is the most ridiculous thing of all time. But, you know, you sort of see where FIFA's coming from on this, because you can't have guys just taking out the legs of their opponents at will. You can't just have an unlimited number of right. yellow cards for sure, but you think they need to strike a better balance? Is that what
Maybe
you're saying?
Maybe 3 in 5 games, open that up, just one more. The reason why they put this rule into place is they don't want a player picking up his second or third card, whatever, in the semifinals and having a player suspended for a World Cup final. So they wash the cards after the quarters. But unfortunately for Belgium, they lose one of their top players, at least from a tactical perspective, and it really cost them. I just don't think we saw the free-flowing team that was so dangerous against Brazil or who mounted an incredible comeback against Japan. We simply didn't see it. So part of the credit goes to France. Part of it, I really believe, is the fact that the team had to change shape and they weren't capable of doing so.
Gareth Wheeler in studio, France beating Belgium earlier this afternoon, 1-0. You heard it right here on TSN Radio. They're off to the World Cup final Sunday at 11 a.m. Coverage beginning at 10 a.m. here on TSN 1050. So we wait to see who they're going to play tomorrow. And regardless of who they play, France is going to be a heavy favorite.
I don't know. World Cup finals are funny, Brian, because there's a little bit of a war of attrition to get to a World Cup final, and there's so much on the line where generally we see like a 1-0 game, no matter who plays in a final. I don't know about you guys. Like, I'm salivating. I desperately want a France-England final. Mm-hmm. These are two historic rivals, both on and off the field. Two countries, whether it's friendly, whether it's not so friendly, have a competitive spirit amongst them and have so for years. Having a France-England World Cup final, I mean, this would be on another level
for me. Yeah, in Russia, too.
I mean, Russia.
You throw that into the whole mix in terms of international diplomacy or lack thereof. I mean, it kind of throws a bit of a different angle to it. And with all due respect to Croatian, I know there's a lot of Croatian fans in Toronto yes. throughout the GTA, and I've seen a ton of Croatian flags. They are kind of the odd man out in terms of their history, right? Like, they don't have a ton of international history when it comes to soccer and comes to the World Cup.
So. Let's put it this way. The last time England was in a World Cup semifinal, Croatia hadn't gained its independence yet.
Right, exactly.
So.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I mean, do you expect a similar style of game tomorrow? I mean, you mentioned this, and a lot of people are complaining online that France just killing time and basically taking a knee as much as they could in the fourth quarter, which I'm fine with because you're playing to get to the World Cup final. Do whatever you have to win. But what are you expecting tomorrow in terms of a style of play?
I think England has been very comfortable throughout this entire tournament, and they're the sum of all their pieces rather than the individual parts. They're a team that understands what system they want to play, and I think that they've, much like France, have gradually improved and gained confidence over the course of this tournament. I think Croatia, Brian, is a better team. I think they have better players, but I think that they're absolutely out of gas. This team just played back-to-back games where they went to penalties against Denmark and Russia, respectively. There's a lot of mileage on those legs. For me, they look a little bit like they're wiped, and at this point, the freshness and how fit the players are absolutely matters. That's why I kind of favor England in this game. It's England's game to lose for me. Croatia, they'll dominate the play in the midfield, but England just has so much pace and so many young players that get on the counterattack. I really think they can find this Croatian team vulnerable.
So let's say it is France and England, and then we're jumping the gun, obviously, and sorry to the Croatians out there, but I'm just interested in something here, Wheels, and I want to get your take on it. We're 80 years into this thing, or 80 plus years into this tournament, right? This is the 21st, you know, holding of the World Cup of soccer. And still, if it's France-England, there will still only be 8 nations out of the 212 that are ranked in FIFA that have won this thing.
Yep.
I mean, I'm somewhat surprised by that, because all we've heard for the past 20, 30 years is the globalization of sport and parity in sports. And yet we've seen this really exclusive club of nations hold the reins of this incredibly global game. I mean, how do you explain that?
It's difficult. I do think that based upon what we've seen at this tournament, I mean, two of the final four teams had never won a World Cup before.
Okay, so they had the chance.
In Croatia and Belgium. It's just about seeing it over the finish line. And I think that look at the countries that have won. Germany, Italy, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay. I mean, Uruguay hasn't won it since the 1950s, so they're kind of on a little bit of an island. These are the dominant, predominant footballing nations with strong domestic leagues, strong followings, a lot of money in the sport that goes into development. So it's not a coincidence. Is that gap decreasing, shrinking between competitive nations? Yes. But at these major tournaments, generally it's the most talented team that wins. Hence why I like France to win this tournament from
the get-go. Right? It comes down to depth. I mean, it's no different than any other sport. Because I've had that conversation before, Dave. This misnomer that soccer is the world sport and there's so much parity. It's just not true.
Yeah.
It's really no different than hockey.
But
or six countries that can win.
If you look at, though, Copa America, European Championship, like, look at other teams that have won in recent years. Chile, mm-hmm. Portugal, Greece. So within your own federation, I think that's a different story than actually, you know, going on to win a World Cup.
Well, you can catch lightning in a bottle. There's no disputing that. But, like, when you look at every team in this tournament probably has a couple of players who are truly world-class talents.
Sure.
The difference between France and a team at the bottom of these rankings or this tournament is they've got probably 15. Right? I mean, the same thing with Germany, even though they didn't get through. Spain, even though they didn't go that far. Brazil. I mean, that's why I don't think it's any different than any of the other big sports. Like, hockey's the best example, I think, because there truly are about six teams that are going to win. And it's really not that much different. And maybe Croatia shocks us. Maybe they win tomorrow and they win on Sunday, and then we're having a very different conversation. Sure. But for the most part, when I look at it, and I don't pretend to be Mr. Soccer and have a great depth of knowledge when it comes to all these players, but just reading about it and listening to you day in, day out, the teams that are going the furthest, like France, it's because they have so much depth. They have guys on the bench that would be starting on, 80% of these teams?
Sure. It's a great point, Brian, because a lot of these smaller nations might have one or two top players. Like, I'm half English, I'm half Welsh. For years, when Ryan Giggs, you know, a world-class player, could play for any club team in the world, simply the depth of talent wasn't there for Wales year after year. And you could pick out any smaller nation, it's very much the same. So I think you're absolutely right. But it's depth of talent isn't enough on its own. Coaching matters. Your coaching. I really think Spain could have done something special if their head coach in Lopetegui wasn't fired from the program 48 hours before the tournament.
You
right,
it was a bad move.
And the fact that now Gareth Southgate has pushed me down to the third most popular Gareth in the world after Bale and of course Southgate. Gareth power rankings. He has his team playing a system that gets the most out of this group. Think about the other managers of England in recent years: Capello, Hodgson, Eriksen, a bunch of big-name, overpaid, absolute choke artists, flops, couldn't figure out how to play their team with talent in an England side like Owen and Rooney and Gerrard and Lampard and Terry. Names that you don't even need to follow soccer, but you know who they are. The fact that England over the last two decades has been such an unmitigated failure, it runs deep throughout that federation. That's why today it's a breath of fresh air, and you are seeing party scenes like no other across England. Right now, like no other. Justin Timberlake has a concert tomorrow night. He's delaying the concert so they can play the England game at the O2 Arena beforehand. And he's like, we're going to watch it all together. Because that's all that anyone cares about right now. Wimbledon might as well not even be going on right now.
Yeah.
It does
yesterday.
Not matter.
Yeah, it's completely irrelevant. And there's actually some cool story. I mean, Serena is charging at Wimbledon, which is a really, really cool story. But you're right. I mean, Dave brought that up yesterday. The finals at 2 p.m. on Sunday, I believe, local time over in England. And they're not going to adjust it. If England's in the World Cup final, there's a very good chance that the men's final is going to cross over.
That's almost for sure. Unless Federer wins in straight sets, which is likely, I guess.
But even if England, just say England's in it and loses, like, what, win or lose, it doesn't matter.
No, they're
playing.
That
is England's day. That is the biggest day in that country since 1966. Mm-hmm. That's what's on the line here. And that's why tomorrow's game is so big. Even around this city, there's a lot of Croatian fans. There's more English support in this city and across this country than any other team. It's because
you
of our access
that?
To
you the
100%, no doubt. It's our access to the Premier League. We're familiar with their players. We're familiar with the legacy of that country. Obviously, our Anglo
roots.
Mean,
I don't know if that means that there are fans, though, necessarily of England. I think it's that they're aware of England,
I think,
which goes a long way, because I think there's a lot of people like myself that want to see familiar names and want to be familiar with certain teams.
Maybe to the casual, but predominantly there are more England supporters across the city in this country than any other country. Like, there's great support for Germany, and I get all that, but England's on another level. Check out the pub scene across Toronto. Like, for our listeners, if you want a seat anywhere at a bar for tomorrow or Sunday, you're either going to be having to pay top dollar, have to know someone, or you're going to be flat out of luck.
Okay.
It's going to be that
serious? Like, what are we, are people actually paying for bar seats?
Oh, yeah. There was as soon as England won a couple games at this tournament, I know a couple local establishments that were taking advance payment on booking spots inside their bar. This was weeks ago.
No way.
For Sunday's World Cup final,
really?
Just in anticipation that England might be.
What
able
are we
to be
talking
there.
Here? Like, what would I need to spend to get a decent seat on?
If they're in a World Cup final, I'm gonna guess $100.
$100.
Okay, like, yeah, minimum. Slow down.
Hang on.
What are we? Gareth Wheeler in studio. Are we talking about like English pubs?
Yes.
Where we know it's going to be loaded with English supporters.
Yes.
We're not talking about like just a regular pub.
No, I'm talking like ones that will be playing. Like, I'm talking like Scallywags. I'm talking like football. I'm talking about like these known renowned. Let me put this into context. Like, I'm a Manchester United supporter. Once in a while, I go out to watch a Manchester United game. So I went to the FA Cup final at their supporters club on Firkin on Bloor. You couldn't get into the place. There was no seats.
Mm-hmm.
That's for an FA Cup final on a regular year, right, against Chelsea. Ho-hum, not Champions League final, not a decisive league game. England, World Cup final, we're talking another level here, where this city has the potential to blow up. Like, I don't know, like a Maple Leafs playoff game, or
you
like a big Raptors playoff game.
No,
I think it's
going to
be mayhem.
There's no chance that's going to happen.
It's going to be mayhem.
That's ridiculous hyperbole. To compare it to a Maple Leaf playoff round,
I've seen Yonge Street close down when Manchester United won a Champions League.
What part of Yonge Street?
Yonge and Egg at their old supporters club. I swear to God, the street was closed down. I think you guys are underestimating the England support in this city.
For a block, maybe.
Yeah, like, for a block, but still the block was closed down. Much like when Italy went on to win the World Cup.
Yes, okay.
Little Italy was closed.
Yeah,
like, that's going to happen across the city.
See, you think it'll be that big?
I think it's going to be the equivalent or bigger to what Italy or Portugal winning a Euro or World Cup would be.
Okay, I want to take some calls on this. 416-870-1050. Call in and let us know. Are you buying what Wheeler is selling here? Is Toronto officially Toronto England going into the weekend if England ends up playing France at the World Cup final on Sunday? Because Italy is the country that generally comes to mind for me.
Yes.
Now, they're the loudest
Ryan,
supporters.
Because they've had something to cheer for in recent vintage.
Right.
I think you're underestimating the fact that England has been beaten. There's been nothing to cheer for 2 decades.
But that doesn't mean that there's a ton of English people in here.
Oh, it does.
There are a lot of Italians. Now, I don't know the actual breakdown of English versus Italy in the city, but I find it hard to believe that this is going to turn into parade routes down Yonge Street if England actually wins the World Cup.
Just wait till Sunday morning. If you're downtown trying to find a place to go watch the game, good luck. Good luck. And it's not going to be like there isn't any Little England, Little Britain
that's an Arrested Development reference.
Nothing like that around the city.
Yes.
But it's going to be scattered and peppered. So it might not be just Sinclair College closing down, but it will be a massive party if they do it.
Well,
it's going to be a sight to see.
The World Cup final generates a big buzz anyway. I mean, Toronto is maybe the most multicultural city in the world, and the World Cup final is always going to get people out on the streets, regardless of who's in the final. And I'm with you. None of us have experienced England actually succeeded anything. You got to go back to the 60s for that to happen. But I need to look into that whole Young and Eglinton shutdown thing. That sounds like fake news to me. Because
I wouldn't lie to you.
But wouldn't you need to, like, you're telling me cops were out there telling people,
I'm
like,
telling
you can't drive
people
through.
People poured out of the bar and closed down the street. Traffic cannot get past. I'm one of those long-time English football, whether it be Premier League or national team junkies. I'm that degenerate that's in the bar 5 hours before the game, standing room only.
But then you can admit you're biased on this. I mean, obviously, you're coming at it from a very different view. This is your world. This is your life. You're seeking it out. What I'm saying is I don't get the impression like the average Torontonian is driving around being like, England's taking over our city here.
No, I'm not saying taking over the city. There's going to be an indelible imprint. Like Raptors playoff games, do they take over the city? No, but bars and pockets.
Right.
Same thing. Same thing with Leafs playoff. I'm not talking Leafs Stanley Cup games, but Leafs playoff games. You know, certain bars are going to be absolutely rammed. Try to go down to Real Sports on Sunday morning. No chance.
Well, Real Sports has become like a home base for, like, in terms of a sports pub. But again, I don't think that's because of England wheels.
Well,
if France plays Croatia, it's going to be packed on Sunday morning.
I think that it'll be a fraction of the size in terms of popularity and footprint as an England-France final.
Okay, what about the French? Like, what kind of French support you think you'll see?
I saw people around the city today wearing French jerseys.
I actually haven't seen a lot, to be honest. I have not seen a lot of French flags.
I saw more Belgian than France.
I thought I did, too. Yeah. Now, I mean, it's a weird study because it's only based on what you see and where you're at.
Probably you go to Quebec, there's going to be a much more passionate French following than here.
I've read that. Like, in Montreal and throughout the province, they're supporting France. All right, we're taking some calls here. I know you've got to go do your show here, but you want to stick around for some of these?
Yeah, I just need a headset.
All right. We'll come back. We're loaded with calls. So 416-870-1050. We'll let you decide how this city is going to react on Sunday. If it is France-England. We know France is into the World Cup. It's England-Croatia, semifinal number two tomorrow at 2 p.m. But if it's England, if it's France, if it's Croatia, what is the city going to react like on Sunday? We got Gareth Wheeler in here. Dave Feschuk's in here from The Star. Your phone call's next. Gareth Wheeler in here, and Wheels has caused a storm with a take from the previous segment. We were talking about what the reaction will be like with England playing in the semis tomorrow, and if they get through to the final. France won earlier today, getting past Belgium. They're into the finals. If it's France-England, the city's going to go crazy.
And crazy.
You believe there is more support for England in the city than any other nation.
Yes.
And you compared it to the Maple Leaf playoffs. Right, you did say that you think if England wins, it'll be a similar reaction to if the Maple Leafs won one playoff game or a round?
Or like what the city is like for a Maple Leafs playoff game. Like bars packed, maybe even bigger. Can't get a seat, paying to get into a bar, the pubs to watch the game, like it's going to be on another level.
416-870-1050. Let's take a couple of calls before Wheels has to get out of here. Miles is up first. Go ahead, Miles.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Hey, bud. Good, thanks.
So, I'm born and raised in Canada, but my parents and my nationality is Greek. I was in my late teens when Greece won the Euro in 2004. And I can honestly say it was one of the most exciting, fun times I have of anything sports-related. With that being said, I'm not saying that there's more Greek people in Toronto or that there's a bigger supporting for people from Greece, but does not even come close to when the Leafs, that did not come close to when the Leafs are in a playoff run. I can relate it to 2002 when we lost to Carolina. The Leafs fans are crazy in this city. So I disagree with you, Wills, when it comes to you thinking that England making the semifinal, or even a final for that matter, is up to par with that. So that's my opinion. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Miles. Well, what he said about Greece is interesting because the Danforth is so centralized, right?
Yes, they have their own area.
Right. And it's crazy. Like, right. When they're playing a massive event, you know that the Danforth is going to be rocking. It's the same thing with Little Italy, Little Portugal. We need a Little England somewhere in the city.
Where would that be?
I don't know.
Like, I literally
I have no idea.
I don't know if we need a Little England, guys. I mean, I really, this conversation is...
It's getting crazy.
A little bit crazy. But my thing is, like, I live on St. Clair West, where it's, when Italy won in 06, I remember there was a jubilant celebration. St. Clair was shut down. People running through the streets, jumping for joy, hugging their family members. It was so much fun. I'm not Italian.
You will see that.
I enjoyed it.
You'll see that on Sunday.
But my thing is, like...
If it's England.
That stretch, they've got Italians, there's Portuguese. The Portuguese seem to cheer for Brazil when Portugal's out. I don't see a lot of England flags, Wheels. I hate to tell you.
Again, because it's been beaten down. Pubs, honestly, maybe it's just my community. I just know what's going on. I see what the pubs have been like over the course of this run. I get what this means to a lot of people that I know in my own
especially
football
heavy
viewing
drinkers.
Community.
Especially
a lot
drinkers.
Of heavy drinkers.
Exactly. Well, and early on Sunday morning, too. One more call before Wheels has to take off. Andrew's up next in Burlington. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, bud. Good, thanks.
I'm 100% with Wheeler on this. I actually just came from England like 2 weeks ago, so I got to see the Panama and the Belgium game. It's nuts there. I know it won't be anything compared to that. But, I mean, pubs are here for a reason. Pubs are an English thing. There's a reason there's more English here than Croatian. There's more England flags everywhere. It's going to be nuts. It won't be street closing, but it'll definitely be cars driving around, going crazy. The streets will be, like, the sidewalks will be filled with fans. It'll be nuts.
Appreciate it. There you go, Wheels. You got at least one supporter out there.
There you go. Let me know how this goes, by
the way.
Yeah, I will.
It's a good topic, man. Well, if you're kicking around the next couple of days, pop in. We'll do this again.
Well, we'll crush out World Cup Daily that's coming up tonight, and then I'll check in after. Okay?
All right, buddy. There
thanks,
he is. Gareth Wheeler. Thanks for sticking around, too, and taking a couple of calls and basically lighting the phones up with a hot take for the ages. And now that he left the studio, we can just chirp him.
Let's just chirp him.
Gareth Wheeler, listen, Wheels is an English supporter through and through. And I don't dispute, if you're Croatian right now, your whole world is about this game tomorrow, and if they get through, it's all about the finals. If you're a French fan, and this is what you live for, is the World Cup or the Euros, everything in your world is about France. But this city's too big for, I think, a team that isn't Canada to truly light the whole city on fire in terms of a reaction to one team actually winning.
Exactly, and because they don't have a little England, as you guys talked about, or a little Britain. And, you know, I just don't know if it will have that effect. I think we know where Little Italy is. You go to college, or you go to St. Clair, or you go to Woodbridge, and you got Little Italy.
Yeah.
We know where Greektown is. We know where Little India is. Mm-hmm. We know where Chinatown is. You know, there's even a small Koreatown not too far from where I live, where when South Korea has had their runs in the World Cup, it's gone crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think England's got that centralized point. There will be pubs where it'll be crazy, but I don't think it's going to be shutting down streets for like the Italians and the Greeks will.
And France, the same thing. There's no little France in the city.
Exactly.
I mean, there are a lot of French people, and there's a lot of French Canadians, and I don't know if they immediately attach themselves to France. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm speaking as someone who doesn't have a dog in a fight.
Same here.
So, for me, I'm just looking for entertainment value. Give me a good game tomorrow and a great final, and I'll be at home on Sunday. I'm not going to be downtown in a pub or whatever. But this is the beauty of the tournament, and really what kind of makes me jealous about this whole conversation is that Canada is never included in this. Like, that is what I really, really crave, because I can't imagine a time in my life where Canada is into the semifinals of a World Cup or playing for the opportunity to go to a final. But the idea that 2026, they're more than likely going to get an automatic bid, they're going to play more than likely home games, maybe at BMO Field, that's probably enough. You know, that is one bucket list item for me that I would love to be able to check off. Being in Toronto, my hometown, with Canada playing on the world stage, especially if they can play a world power. You know, if you get the opportunity, because, again, I don't know where the Canadian soccer program is going to be in 8 years, but I can't imagine they're on par with the top 8 or 10 teams in the league, or in the world, I should say. But all I'm going to be thinking is, hey, they get to host, they get to play. So give me France. Give me a game against England or Brazil so that I can appreciate what that would be like to take on a world power. But that's 8 years down the road. And, you know, it's always been
that way.
Canada's, they haven't been in since, what, 86?
86, we got in. The only time we've been in, didn't score a goal, didn't win a game, obviously. Can't win if you don't score. So, yeah, it's been a long road. And yet, this is our biggest participation summer sport. You know, this is the game. Almost everybody plays it as a kid.
Right.
And we've just never been able to break through. We're ranked 79th in the world. And the worst team that got into this World Cup was 67th in the world. That was Saudi Arabia. So we're off the grid, man.
Yeah, they're not even that close. And what they need, like, the conversation started with the top teams, they have depth. You know, France has a lot of depth. England's got depth. Where a lot of the teams that just get in and don't get out of the group stage, they have two or three world-class players, household names. They just don't have the depth. The problem is Canada doesn't even have that. Like, we are waiting for that superstar. We need that superstar. I think it would do wonders for the sport. And I'm not saying that guy has to be Ronaldo or Messi, but give us somebody that is truly recognized as a world-class player. someone who plays for one of the top teams in Europe. Someone who, if he was transferred like Ronaldo was today, you'd have to pay a lot of money. And I think that would resonate a lot. 416-870-1050. Again, France getting past Belgium today. They're off to the World Cup final Sunday at 11 a.m. Coverage beginning at 10 a.m. right here on TSN Radio. Rio in Toronto's up next. Go ahead, Rio.
Oh, I was itching to get on. I'm half English, half Croatian, and I'm 1,000% behind Croatia. Croatian soccer is 1,000 times better than English soccer. That's why soccer in Canada is poor. Iceland can make the World Cup because they're well organized. The problem with the Canadian Soccer Association is it's run by a bunch of English guys who are stuck up, don't have any passion for the game, and there's way more Croatian flags than English flags. I'm at the Croatian park every time we win at Mississauga Road and Eglinton. There's always 5,000 people in the park, 5,000 on the streets of Streetsville. There's Norval where there's 5,000 Croatians. And the one on the.
Do you know every Croatian living in Mississauga? Like, how do you know?
Hey, I got one of my buddies. This guy's insane. Everywhere we stop, he knows everybody, and he tells them their family history. He's ridiculous. I wasn't that much like that, but anyway, Croatia is way more passionate about soccer than England, and we're not afraid to control the ball. There's only one world class guy on England. That's Kane. Croatia, they're littered. Their second team will beat England tomorrow. I guarantee it.
All right. I like it, man. That's what I'm looking for. Again, I don't have a dog in the fight. I appreciate the call. I don't really care who wins tomorrow. Wheeler's such a passionate guy, and I've known him for so long, and I like him so much that I'd like to see him actually have England go through and have some success. But again, I don't care who wins tomorrow. Doesn't make a difference to me. And if you're talking about who's on the bench for Croatia, you're calling into the wrong show. I mean, I can't break that down
We're not breaking down Croatia's fourth line.
No, we're talking about culture wars in the city, basically. Who is getting the most support? What's the reaction going to be like? 416-870-1050. We'll get back to your calls in 2 minutes. That might be a little bit misleading. We're not breaking down the match from earlier today. Fergie promoting that we're taking calls in the World Cup. We're more talking about how the city's going to react to whatever final we get, because we know France is through. They beat Belgium 1-0 earlier this afternoon. They're into the World Cup finals on Sunday, and it's England versus Croatia tomorrow. And the way this got going was we had Gareth Wheeler in here, and Wheel started throwing out this idea that Toronto is basically going to look like Manchester on Sunday if England ends up winning the World Cup. And he claimed that back in 2009 during an FA Cup final, I think it was, that Yonge and Eglinton, one of the busiest intersections in the city, was basically shut down because of English support.
Manchester United support.
Was it United support?
It was people spilling out of a Manchester United bar.
It was United versus Chelsea, I believe. And United, I guess, won. And they poured out into the streets, which... Listen, maybe that happened. I happened to live around Yonge and Eglinton at that time. I don't remember hearing or seeing anything like that. But I wasn't actually at that bar, and I probably wasn't even paying attention to the game. Brendan texting in from Hamilton saying, English pubs will be a scene, but during Leafs playoff games, you get pretty much everyone from dive bars all the way up to the top level. And he's right about that. I mean, Wheeler, I think, was pushing his luck a little bit with his take when he suggested that the reaction throughout the city will be similar to that of when the Maple Leafs actually win in the playoffs. And that there's not a possibility. There's no chance of it. I would go as far to say as even if Canada was in the World Cup and they won the World Cup in Toronto, I'm not sure it would be a bigger reaction than if the Maple Leafs won a playoff round.
Whoa.
I really don't.
That blew my mind. This, the idea of Canada being in the World Cup, and not just being in the World Cup, but winning the World Cup. I mean, there's so many steps that would need to happen.
Exactly.
It's just hard to fathom.
Because there's no support for it, because we've never... Who supports the Canadian soccer
exactly.
team?
Exactly.
Because they don't do anything.
That.
They don't win. No one even knows when they play outside of diehards.
We're used to a Toronto, a country, a nation where... Everybody supports other nations when the World Cup's on because there's no home team to support. And we've only been in the World Cup once in 1986, and we haven't been there since, and there's no telling when we're going to get back there. And 2026 seems to be the most likely time when we're actually hosting the thing, or at least hosting about 10 games of it. But you're right. It's that seems like a stretch. This idea that anything is comparable to the Leafs in this town, to me, is a stretch.
Yeah, especially, again, if it isn't Canadian. You know, I mean, if Canada is not involved in that, the Leafs trump everything else in terms of reaction, in terms of all of the bars, in terms of the buzz in the city. And the World Cup, regardless of who's going to be in the final, will create a vibe in the city that is intoxicating. I mean, this is a multicultural city. It's an incredible city with so many different people from so many different walks of life, and they do come together for these big events. But comparing it to the Maple Leafs, where we know what that means, and we've seen what the reaction is, I can't picture anything coming close. 416-870-1050. Mitchell in Toronto is up next. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Hey, well, thanks.
Okay, so I'm Italian. I'm also English. I'm from Toronto. The only little England that we have is the beaches. The beaches are absolutely slammed for every single game possible. Now, one thing I'm going to say, I'm a Leafs fan, I'm a Jays fan, I'm an Argos fan. England winning isn't going to compare to an Argo parade. It's going to have nothing close. I've seen Canada win Olympic gold medals. Young and Dundas was slammed. The Jays, the Argos are going to trump what England could possibly do.
Well,
where are they going to party?
That's Young the and thing. Like,
they got a crosstown subway system going up there. There's one lane reduction.
Right. John Tory's not inviting English fans down to City Hall either to support, you know, their nation winning. I mean, that's the difference, right? The Argos are, they represent the city. They're from Toronto, and the Argos are obviously not what they once were, and I think you're being facetious in a way, but you're right. I mean, no one, the city isn't going to be like, we won something. That's not the way it works. We don't. Canada's not in the World Cup. You can't have that reaction.
No, and even if we were in the World Cup, we still wouldn't have that reaction. Not compared to the Leafs. You can't compare it to the Jays. Okay, to give Wheeler a little credit, maybe more than the Argos, but the Raptors making the Eastern Conference Finals a couple years ago was huge. Mm-hmm. The city had Raptor gear everywhere, and I could look down the street and I could walk for 15 minutes and not see a single England flag.
Well, I got to be honest. I haven't seen a ton, and I appreciate the call. Thank you, Mitchell. I will say this. My neighbor is English. He's born and raised in England, and he's a massive England fan, and he has the flag on both of his cars, but that's about it. I mean, I'm sure I've seen a couple, and basing the amount of support on how many flags you see probably isn't very scientific, right? But it's kind of all we have in terms of driving around Toronto. Like, if you're not, I'm not going to every pub to ask people who they're supporting.
No, and my thing is, like, I've been living in this town for, you know, 20 plus years. You've been living here since you were born, right?
Right.
You're a native Torontonian. I just haven't seen that kind of English support. And I know Wheels is pointing out that this team has underachieved all these years and has been out early of so many World Cups before. And we just haven't seen them have a deep run like this. And obviously they haven't won since 1966. But I just don't think it exists. And I think it's probably about the central meeting point thing. You know, as much as maybe the beaches is the spot to be, you know, I just don't.
And I've never heard that before.
I've never heard that either. I don't live in the beaches. They definitely have some pubs, you know, Lion on the beach, and there's a couple other ones down there that are really good pubs. But, yeah, I just don't see that kind of support in this town for that team. But then again, you know, the beautiful thing about this is that it's uncharted territory. And the fact that they've got a Leaf-esque streak of misery dating back to 66. Of course, the Leafs goes back, you know, 1 year less.
Yeah, the Leafs are better than
exactly.
England. By 1 year.
By 1 year. So maybe there is some pent-up English support that we'll see here that we haven't seen before. I'll be
there's a familiarity again, because the EPL is the most popular European league over here in Canada, and just in terms of following and the ratings and what TSN does and Sportsnet's done over the years. So you're familiar with a lot of these players, and I do think familiarity probably helps. But it doesn't mean you're going to have a passion. You can have an interest level,
sure.
But we're talking about passion here. Like, Wheeler's talking about people pouring into the streets and horns being honked all over the city all throughout Sunday if England actually wins. And I'll believe it when I see it. And I understand it is different, as we pointed out throughout the hour. If Greece wins, you go to the Danforth, and that is going to look like Athens. Like,
no
it
doubt.
Is crazy.
No doubt.
And if Italy wins, you go down to St. Clara College, that's going to look like Rome in many ways. Portugal, the same kind of thing. There are selective pockets. I don't know where English fans would congregate. And I guess from that standpoint, maybe it is a little bit more difficult to get a read on how many are actually in the city. Same thing applies with France, though, like we said. There's no little France. I don't know where French supporters are going to be watching the game. I have no idea.
I know there's one bar on King Street. I actually covered it. I went down to write about one of those kind of lame sports columns when a sports columnist doesn't have anything else to write.
A filler.
I went down during a World Cup game where France was playing to Le Saint-Tropez on King Street, and that is the French soccer bar. And it was fun. I had a great time, wrote a pretty crappy column, but it was a good day. I got my work done. And but that was the only spot that I could find in this town where French people congregated to watch France. And I don't know if that's changed. That was quite a few years ago, but you just don't see a lot of French soccer bars or French soccer flags.
Right.
From my perspective.
To be fair, I'm not seeking them out.
True.
You know, Toronto is such a massive city. They could be anywhere in the city. And if it's not basically the route that I take day in, day out, I'm not going to pick up on it. So I'm not disputing that they're not out there. I would think every single nation probably has a place where if you're online, you could find it and some people are going to show up. But this was a larger conversation. This was a larger take from Wheels. Wheels is saying the whole city is going to be buzzing if England actually ends up doing it. And we're probably putting the cart before the horse. They still have to play Croatia tomorrow. 416-870-1050. We'll try to slide in some more calls. Steve Phillips coming up in the next hour. Scott Niedermeyer will join us later in the afternoon. Dave Feschuk's in here from The Star. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, I'm going to get another poll up here on Twitter, at HayesTSN. And I know I'm putting myself out here because the jokes are going to come pouring in, the awful lame jokes about how both are impossible, neither could ever happen. But just out of curiosity, allow yourself for this hypothetical to turn into a possibility. What would lead to a crazier reaction and or party in Toronto? The Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup or Canada winning the FIFA World Cup? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll throw it out there. People are going to goof on me. I know this. And it's going to be like, the Leafs never win any. Yeah, we get it. I understand. But let's see. Let's see what people say. All right? We'll take some more calls throughout the afternoon as well.
It's a funny one because the Leafs right now, I mean, the way they've put themselves into the Stanley Cup conversation, you got to think they've got a 1 in 15, 1 in 16 shot. They're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah,
let's just say at
that.
The very least, they got a 1 in 16 shot of winning a Stanley Cup. Canada's like one of 212 countries, and they're ranked 79th in the world right now.
No,
that's not very good.
It's not a good chance. 416-870-1050. Steve Phillips, Scott Niedermeyer coming up in the next hour. We'll continue to touch on the city's reaction to the World Cup as well. Dave Feschuk's in here from The Star. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.